Greetings. You're listening to Christian Radio WYYC, York, Pennsylvania, presenting the 15 Minutes of the End Time Matrix, hosted by CephasMinistry.com, P.O. Box 359944, in Westminster, Colorado 80035. Phone is 303-452-1104. Your host is Rita Williams. People always ask, what does the word Cephas mean and how do you spell it? Read John chapter 1, verse 42, and 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible states that Cephas represents a stone. Cephas is spelled C-E-P-H-A-S. C as in Charles, E as in Erna, P as in Paul, H as in Hans, A as in Alpha, and S as in Sam. The reason I have to bring up the preliminaries again is not to bore you, but to let newcomers know what this program is about. Matrix is most likely another unfamiliar concept if listeners have not seen the movie Matrix. Webster's Dictionary states the following. Matrix is something that's like a mold or womb that gives form, foundation, or origin to something else enclosed inside of it. Matrix can apply to many concepts. Take a womb, for instance, in which a baby is conceived. The mother's body nourishes the growing child, but it has no idea what kind of individual the child is going to be once it is outside of the womb. This program is about exposing the matrix, the something that is inside the matrix, or the listeners to this program who may or may not be caught up in the matrix. Your eternal life could be in jeopardy if you don't pay close attention to this program. It will be packed with information that you need to know to see if you are the something that's inside the matrix. The programs will be downloadable at cephas-radio.com. The reason for this broadcast is Pope Francis. He suddenly came on the scene and seemingly like a messiah attracts people of faith, interfaith, Hollywood, media, and even atheists to himself, not like any other pope has before. Why is that? Who is Pope Francis? I will get to that in this broadcast. These next two broadcasts will be about his past. To help you understand why we are where we are today, I had to go back in history, and the previous programs are all about the history of the church and what is going on today in the U.S. as far as the Pope is concerned, how he's suddenly coming out politically, and it'll show the undercurrent that may pull people suddenly into the abyss. Even though Francis tells people that he doesn't have much time left before he will die, he travels from one country to another. To his own amazement, he is greeted by thousands expressing euphoria. Many are moved to tears, hoping that he will be an acting savior. Even though his message is about worldly issues like climate change, global warming, poverty, and tolerance. Most believers are pro-Israel. Pope Francis is pro-Palestinians who are Muslims. What I have noticed recently that Christians seem to go the same way. Why are they moving in the direction of Islam? Do listeners know that Christianity and Islam have developed a new movement named Chrislam, in spite of the fact that Christians are taught in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15, and what concord has Christ with Belial? Or what part has he that believeth in an infidel? In one of the last books of the Old Testament, the book of Zechariah, chapter 2, verse 1 through 13, King James Version. The prophet describes what God told him. This is a summary. Jerusalem shall be inhabited as towns without walls for the multitude of men. God promises that he will be the glory in Jerusalem again. The Lord told Zion to come home because he wants them to know him and rejoice because he plans to live in the midst of them. The verses end with, "And the Lord shall inherit Judah his portion in the Holy Land and shall choose Jerusalem again. Be silent, O flesh, O all flesh, before the Lord, for he is raised up out of his holy habitation." Following is an expose of Pope Francis I.
The Vatican conclave elected Jorge Mario Bergoglio as the next pope. But now, as researchers like Professor Michel Chasadovsky of the University of Ottawa are pointing out, Bergoglio's past points to his likely involvement in crimes against humanity. This is the GRTV feature interview with your host James Corbett and our special guest, Professor Michel Chasadovsky.
During the military government, 1976 to 1983, Bergoglio was provincial of Argentina's Society of Jesus. In other words, he was the top Jesuit official in the country and wielded tremendous power. And when the dictatorship was installed in 76, he, as well as the Catholic clergy in general, the Catholic hierarchy, was firmly behind the junta, and that junta was involved in mass killings and assassinations. So that what happened was, first of all, the coup took place, and the Catholic hierarchy was essentially supportive of the military in the targeted assassinations, as well as the campaign against so-called leftists. And this also included members of the Catholic clergy. Now, I so happened to be teaching in Argentina at that time. I was at the National University of Córdoba, which is a northern industrial city. It's the second largest city after Buenos Aires. It was the heart of the resistance movement. It was also a stronghold of the labor unions. And I witnessed that period. It was impossible not to witness it because it was a daily occurrence. And the church blessing the armed forces, reports of nuns being killed and kidnapped and so on. We didn't actually witness what was subsequently called the Dirty War, La Guerra Sucia, because that was revealed subsequently. But there was a feeling that the church was behind the military, firmly behind the military. And that was in contrast to the situation, let's say, in Chile. And I lived through the coup in Chile on 3 years earlier, on 11 September 1973. The Cardinal of Santiago de Chile, Cardinal Silva Enriquez, took a very firm stance against the government of Augusto Pinochet. And thousands of lives were saved as a result. Now, the position of the Catholic Church and the involvement of Jorge Mario Bergoglio was exactly the opposite. Not only did they support the junta, but they actually collaborated with the junta. And that is very clear even in statements made by General Jorge Videla, who led the military junta, who is now serving a life sentence. But he made statements after his arrest and indictment to the effect that not only did the military commit these atrocities, but they also consulted the Catholic hierarchy as to how they should proceed. And they said I quote textually, that we kept the Catholic hierarchy informed about the disappearing of political opponents. Okay? They were involved in a policy of arresting people, disappearing them, dropping them from aircrafts, and so on. And Jorge Vilela said, this was an interview which was published recently in a Spanish magazine, he said, we had many conversations with senior members of the church, including at that time Cardinal Raúl Francisco Prima Testa, about how the dirty war should be conducted, how we should go after these people. And, quote, they advised us about the manner in which to deal with the situation. And that included not only the actions that they should take in relation to the disappeared, but what they would do with the children. And we recall that those children were then adopted even by members of the military. Now, prior to the coup, and that's very important, I'm trying to place a little bit the context, and Bergoglio played a very key role because he was a very, very influential figure, and he also had a personal relationship with General Jorge Videla and with Emilio Massera, who was essentially the architect of the assassination and disappearance project. They established a prison where these people would go, and then they would torture them, and then they would drop them from aircrafts. And Emilio Massera was the admiral. He was part of the triumvirate, the three leaders who led this coup, from the army, the air force, and the navy. He was head of the navy, and he put this together. And he was very close to the junta, very close. He was very close to the church, so that what you have is a situation of complicity between members of the Catholic Church, the hierarchy, and senior members of the junta. And another dimension of that is that you had the Vatican and the representative of the Vatican, which also was playing a very key role in that regard. And that was the nuncio Pio Laghi, and Pio Laghi was very close to Admiral Emilio Massera, who was involved in these atrocities. Now, just prior to the coup, which took place on March 24th, 1976, senior members of the Catholic Church had meetings with the military, and I presume they were also informed of what was going on. And on the day following the coup, in fact, on the day of the takeover itself, the military leaders had lengthy meetings with the bishops' conference, and they were given the green light. Essentially, they were given the green light, and the representative of the bishops' conference said, he urged Argentinians, quote, to cooperate in a positive way with the new government, which was, I would say, one of the most repressive and criminal governments in South America in the course of modern history. And this background defines also the actions of Jorge Mario Bergoglio, who later became cardinal, but at the time he was provincial of the Society of Jesus, and he was sued in 2005 it was a criminal suit for having handed over two Jesuit members who were involved in grassroots projects in the slum areas in Buenos Aires. He handed them over to the military, together with six other members of the parish who were involved in grassroots activities in support of the poor. They were teachers, they were young women, four women, young teachers, handed over together with two of their husbands. And these people disappeared. They